Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
On the show today, we have Fairplay's very own Kareem Saleh and Happy Money's very own Iman Chatterjee. They're both here talking about what credit unions should know about CFPB's recent fair lending report. Really good stuff here from both Kareem and Iman, so check it out. Everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have a great talk about CFPB's recent fair lending report with two fine folks here representing the credit union industry. Let's do some introductions before we get going here. Right next to me, we have Iman Chatterjee from Happy Money, as I can see from your background there. Iman, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And, you know, just to briefly introduce myself, my name is Iman Chatterjee. I've been with Happy Money for a little over 3 years.
Wow.
And prior to joining Happy Money, I was with three major banks for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And what really brought me to Happy Money was its mission, which resonated with me, which is, you know, Happy Money is actually on a mission to develop and deliver affordable, accessible financial tools and services that empower people to use money as a tool for their happiness. Mm-hmm. So we try to make everybody happier by design.
Well, I'm a big fan of Happy Money and what you guys stand for. So thank you for that, Iman. And then right below us, we have Kareem Saleh from Fairplay. Kareem, how are you, sir?
Doing fine. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. You're welcome. Give us a quick elevator speech on Fairplay as well.
Yeah, Fairplay is the world's first fairness as a service company. We automate fair lending, testing, reporting, and optimization for some of the world's biggest financial institutions, including Happy Money.
All right. Well, I was about to ask you, how do you guys work together, or what's the connection here, if you will?
Iman, you want to take that?
Well, yeah, sure. So, you know, as Kareem was mentioning, we do work with Fairplay. You know, we use their sort of lending analytics to make sure that our models are not, you know, including any kind of bias. You know, we're doing the best that we can with the data that is available to us. And, you know, it wouldn't be very nice if we did that audit ourselves. So right. We bring in Fairplay, and Fairplay actually gives us, an accurate assessment of how fair our lending practices really are. Personally, I also read all of Kareem's, you know, blogs and pieces on LinkedIn. You know, this is a subject I'm very passionate about, fair lending. And so, you know, it often resonates with me very deeply what Kareem has to say.
Well, and that happens to be the topic of today's program as well. We're discussing what credit unions should know about CFPB's recent fair lending report. So can you guys kind of refresh us on CFPB's recent fair lending report? What did it say, and maybe some notable takeaways? Kareem, you want to go first, and then we'll go to Iman on her take as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So every year, the CFPB submits a report to Congress about the federal financial regulators' engagement on fair lending issues pursuant to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, Fair Housing Act, Regulation B, other unfair and deceptive practices authorities that the regulators enjoy. So they put out an annual report about everything they have done in the last year on fair lending issues. And this most recent one was something of a bombshell.
Oh, really?
It really signals a heightened focus on fair lending across the federal financial regulators. By the way, we're seeing this at the state level too, but let's just talk about the most recent report for a moment.
Sure.
In 2023, the federal financial regulators cited 189 different institutions for fair lending violations. They referred 33 of those institutions to the Department of Justice for prosecution.
Wow.
They for the first time, they issued several matters requiring attention on the subject of less discriminatory alternatives, which is a piece of the fair lending regime that historically has not gotten a lot of attention, in part because there haven't been good tools to search for less discriminatory alternatives, but that's changing. And you can see that the regulators are now bringing this kind of once somewhat dormant section of the law into supervisory exams and into matters requiring attention.
Okay.
And then for credit unions in particular, there's a heightened focus on auto lending and fairness issues in auto lending. We were told by the NCUA that pricing disparities in excess of 20 basis points are going to be suspect, and they're going to be looking for that at credit unions of certain sizes. And then the report is notable for some other areas it discusses. One thing is that that the report discusses is this idea of ongoing monitoring of fair lending risks.
Okay.
It used to be that like credit unions and other institutions only kind of did annual retrospective audits on fair lending issues. But what we're seeing now is the regulators are insisting that fair lending go from a kind of low rigor, low frequency transaction to more high rigor, high frequency, including ongoing monitoring of fair lending risks mm-hmm. at a regular cadence. The report also talks a lot about digital marketing. And that's a thing that's going to want to be top of mind for credit unions too, if they're sourcing leads and customers from online and digital channels and maybe third-party marketers. There's a concern about digital redlining, steering, all kinds of protections that we have to guard against discrimination in the physical world that may now be manifesting in the digital world.
Wow, there's a lot on the plate there. Oh my gosh. So, Iman, do you want to add anything to that from Happy Money's perspective?
You know, I'll just add my personal perspective here a little bit, right?
Sure.
I think where all the players of the ecosystem will agree is that this call for earnest and urgent action for financial institutions to have a review process to keep a close eye, to monitor it more closely, it makes total sense, right? It's good business because, you know, if you think about where the growth is going to come from, it's actually going to come from customer segments who have not been covered by sort of the traditional, you know, credit bureau, credit models, right? And it's also the right thing to do. So, you know, despite all of the sightings that the report has had, I think the intent is here to move in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think where it gets really complicated is that it's not an easy thing to do. And one single player or one single credit union or even a group of credit unions cannot change the system by themselves. So it's going to require, you know, these really good partnerships with the different players of the ecosystem who all have their strategic advantages. You know, maybe there's a partner such as Happy Money, which is more digitally focused. You know, to Kareem's point, you know, we have done digital marketing. We know how to watch for discriminatory practices in marketing. Yep. And then you know, have the balance sheet of credit union who is wanting to diversify, wanting to reach out to these customers that they have not. So it's really about, you know, making that key decision about which partners do I pursue? Do I build it out myself? Or perhaps it's better to partner because, you know, it's going to be a slow and costly process if I try to build it out myself.
Well, and this is the big deal with AI right now, because obviously there are, unfortunately, there are built-in biases into the data already from years and years of data. And somehow, I don't know, this is way above my pay grade, but we got to, you know, get that biased data out of there so the AI will work properly and fairly. What is your take on that right now? And how does this affect credit unions? Kareem, you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, sure. So you're absolutely right that, you know, the data inputs that folks are using to make decisions for all kinds of reasons they can't control may reflect some of the bias of the past.
Yeah.
And so historically, the practice was to, you know, use those data elements, and usually some clever lawyer or compliance person would write a memo saying, hey, look, there are some differences in outcomes for these groups, but they are driven by things like credit scores, which we rely on to make credit decisions and which have a historical track record of performance. Mm-hmm. And that kind of used to be the end of the story. You know, like, we know we've got some disparities, but the disparities are driven by these legitimate risk factors that we can't control. Increasingly, though, what we're seeing, and this gets to that issue that was in the report a minute ago about less discriminatory alternatives,
mm-hmm.
the regulators are saying, hey, especially in a world of AI and alternative data, it might be possible to build many variants of your model, many variants of your algorithm. And in that, and some of those variants of your model or of your algorithm might still be highly performant from a credit risk perspective,
yep.
but minimize some of the disparities or adverse outcomes for protected groups. And so increasingly, we're seeing this question being asked by the regulators, okay, but like, could you have been more inclusive within your risk tolerance? Show us that you tried to be more inclusive in your risk tolerance. And historically, there really weren't good tools to do that. But now in the era of AI, there are increasingly good tools to do that. And so the expectation is, hey, look for ways to maximize the predictive power of this of these data elements that we know are predictive, but look for ways to also minimize the disparity driving effect. Yeah. So one credit union that we worked for example, you know, they had an underwriting process that was heavily reliant on conventional credit scores. And maybe I think, you know, conventional credit score was responsible for something like 70% of their underwriting decisions. And the remaining 30% of their underwriting decisions were made up of other variables commonly found on a credit report. Mm-hmm. And what that credit union was able to do was like reduce the reliance on the conventional credit score from like 70% to 55% of its predictive power,
yeah,
and to tune up the influence of these other variables, which are similarly predictive, but have less of a disparity driving effect.
That's the
direction that the world is headed. And it turns out that if you get it right, you can say yes to more applicants, which means more capital deployed. And also you get a nice inclusion in regulatory.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah, it really opens up the door for a lot of new folks coming in to get their loans. And sounds like a fair practice as well is what we're looking for. Iman, it looks like you want to add something to this as well.
Yeah, you know, I think everything that Kareem said makes a lot of sense, right? And, you know, often what I, you know, reflect upon is that it's we've made it really more complicated, you know, by introducing words such as, you know, AI and machine learning. Actually, like, it's really more efficient modeling, at least as far as underwriting is concerned, you know. Yeah. AI, which is generative AI, doesn't really even have a big role to play. So what you're really talking about, you know, sophisticated models that can train fast and efficiently on large data sets. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be garbage in, garbage out. And then that's what Kareem was referring to, you know, when he said, if you feed them biased data sets, it's going to give you a biased output and it's only going to exacerbate the problem, right? So it's time to really think about the data that you use in your underwriting. So, you know, these modeled data attributes are great. But one of the areas where I think fintechs have made a lot of progress is on cash flow data and underwriting based on that. And essentially, you know, like, to put it very briefly, while your bureau data and scores can be backward looking, right? Cash flow underwriting is essentially forward looking because it's taking into consideration, you know, whether you have the ability to pay or not. You know, it's also consumer commission data because a consumer, when they're applying digitally, really decides what is going to be their verified source of income. Mm-hmm. And so I think that really the key here is that, you know, it's great to have sophisticated models. Need to be, you know, this continuous work on what these models are being trained on. For that, you know, you need, you know, heterogeneous data. You need, you know, national data, national scale, right? Like, for instance, one of the issues that could come up with a regional credit union, you know, inadvertently is that they're still catering to the region around them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the only way they can get a national scale is actually by working with somebody like Happy Money and also tapping into, you know, this cash flow underwriting that we do.
Yeah, fantastic. And do you guys have any other tips or how creditors can evaluate and increase fairness in their? You've already touched on a few here. Iman, I'll let you go first on this one. Do you have any other tips or any practices that where creditors can really exceed in this area?
Yeah, again, you know, I think it's about sort of understanding the change in the market that they are trying to play in, right? So one of the things that I mentioned is where is the growth coming from, right? Mm-hmm. You know, online deposits, for instance, have become big, and you know, the deposit rates that you get on them are fantastic. You know, like even I opened an online deposit account the other day. And then similarly, you know, for somebody who's looking for lending, right?
Yeah.
Just the fact that, you know, you don't have to go to a branch near you. You just can apply and get a decision and, you know, really fast funding, right? All of these things are changing trends that they need to keep an eye out for. But at the same time, they also need to make sure that they are not making their processes more discriminatory by adopting these things and ignoring, you know, the other aspects of how you underwrite.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would say is that it's like I said, a complex process. And it's important to find partners, you know, who are good at these sort of smaller pieces of the puzzle. So when you put everything together, you know, now you finally have like a really good and a fair business model.
Yeah, and you're set, you know, and you're ready, and yeah, you're going to hit the ground running for sure. Kareem, you want to add anything to that as well? Any tips or any best practices in this area?
I mean, I just want to double down on what Iman said, right? You know, credit unions have this great, I mean, one of the things that they can do to increase their lift is to partner with the Happy Monies of the world, who both are leveraging things like cash flow data, which is really the truest measures of the customer, of the consumer's balance sheet, and who are leveraging a national sample, right? So they understand the differences in the credit properties of different communities, which allows for more predictive power when they come to make decisions. And then plus a fair play solution to allow you to assure your regulators, your other stakeholders, the communities you serve, that those decisions are being made fairly. So I just want to double down on what Iman says, which is that this is an exciting time for credit unions to reach customers that perhaps they otherwise couldn't, provided they have the right network of partners like a Happy Money, like a Fair Play.
Yeah, because that was going to be my last question here to kind of wrap up here is, how does all this affect credit unions? Because it sounds like there's a two-way street here. It could really adversely affect you if you don't get all your ducks in a row, so to speak, or you could really flourish if you get all your ducks in a row properly, like you guys have been saying here. Yeah, I mean, and Iman, I'll let you take this one first. I mean, the effect on credit unions, positively, negatively, but it sounds like, again, this could be a really positive gain for them if they get all their, again, get all their ducks in a row.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, once again, as I had mentioned, right, I firmly believe, and that to credit unions in particular, you know, they do have this community focus. They want to give back to the community. You know, some 20, 25 years back when I was an immigrant to the US, you know, the first institution to actually like let me establish my credit was a credit union. So you know, in the end, it really depends on how fast and, you know, how efficiently they can kind of integrate with partners who know how to do this. So, you know, it's not so much whether it's positive or negative. It's certainly going to require changes. And it's what is imperative is that the credit unions do think about this. They do seriously, and, you know, they act sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and based on what's been happening in the media, I think a lot of them are. So and that's good for, and to keep the conversation going like we're having here with you guys, I think that's a really important thing as well. Kareem, anything else here to add on from your perspective as well?
No, just to repeat, I think what Iman said, which is this is a really exciting time for credit unions. I think AI can help you make a lot more money and do a lot more good in the world. You need the right set of constellation of partners to make sure that you don't get written up by the regulators in the process.
Good point on that one. A great message to end on. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to let you guys get back to work. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and enlightening us in this area and really letting us know the opportunities are there. So, and again, yeah, very exciting times for Creighton's indeed. So thank you so much for your insights and look forward to having you back on the show again another time. Well done.
Thank you for having us, Michael.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.